But in this passage here, as we share some things with you, some thoughts from 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 this morning, where we're at, what's happening in our world, what's going on in our world, what's going on in our churches, and what we can do to help the next generation, and that is so in desperate need of truth. We live in a world of non-truth, of nobody wants to tell you the real news of what's happening, what's going on, whether it is good news or bad news. Nobody's reporting on a congregation this morning that is full, a church building. We don't seem to hear that kind of information out there. But there's an agenda out there, and there's a plan, and we need to know what our plan is as a body of believers and as Christians. And we need to be firm on our beliefs. And as Acts chapter 5, verse number 20, I believe, says, it was when Peter, he was in jail, and the angel came to him. He says, stand up and go and speak the truth. And it is time for Christians to stand up, know what they believe, and go and speak the truth. Peter emphasizes it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We should do it in meekness and in fear, but we must know what we believe and why we believe it, according to what thus saith the Lord says. Not opinions, what does the Word of God say? With that thought in mind, Paul here is making a declaring his apostleship and defending what he believes here in his authority in saying it. These first four verses is where we'll be, especially verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But Paul says this, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, he calls it, and indeed bear with me. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In verse 3, note this, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the authority of the Word of God. Thank you that we have truth from cover to cover, from the first word to the last word. It is your inspired Word of God, your breath that wants to give us spiritual life. Lord, I pray this morning you would encourage us through your Word this morning. Help us to be discerning in this world that we live according to what your Word says, so we know how to behave, because what we believe will determine how we behave. Lord, I pray that you would just minister to the folks here. Lord, needs all across this auditorium, physical, mental, spiritual needs. Maybe somebody needs Christ here this morning. I pray that you will use your Word, the power of the Word of God, and your power, because it's your work, and we want to bring you glory. Lord, we do these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. This passage here, Paul is making a defense here as he is going back to the church of Corinth, and he is telling them to beware, to watch out, and to see what's happening. Notice in verse number 2, he makes reference to a marital status here, and his jealousy over them, with a godly jealousy, it's called here in verse number 2, for I espouse you to one husband. Notice his reference to marriage. This week, as we do this Vacation Bible School, you said a golf theme. What on earth are you guys doing with a golf theme? It's more of a mini putt-putt type idea, a family activity is what it's all about. We use the acrostic of golf, G-O-L-F, go, obey, love, forgive, obedience, and love, and forgiveness, so key in a home and a family. But tonight, I challenge you to be back here. We're going to lay the groundwork to what is a family according to what thus saith the Lord says, what the Bible says. And I believe personally that that is what we need to teach. If we do not teach this to our children, to those you come in contact with, who is. If we don't stand up and speak, there is another agenda out there that is going to capture their minds through their eyes, through their ears, and that is going to take their heart, and it's no wonder what's going on in our colleges and across our universities today, because they know not the truth. So what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, just a few chapters back, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Satan is out here to destroy lives, and he's doing a good job of it. And we as a body of believers must be aware of this, and we must be out there presenting the truth. Most importantly, know why we believe what we believe according to what the Word of God says. But here Paul makes this reference to a marriage of one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Young people here and those out here, it is a relationship in that engagement period that needs to be kept pure. Not going into great detail, but as we come together, but that's not what this world's teaching out there. I mean, we go to Florida in the wintertime, and there's some seniors that need to know this truth too, that you don't shack up together if you're not married. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what's happening today. But here, Paul is trying to give that identification with Christ, the church, and the relationship with Christ. Notice verse number 3, he says this, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." What did the serpent do? It says, so your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. See, he works through your mind, and then he wants to capture your heart. But the minds are corrupted. What did the serpent, who was Satan, do? Back in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. A chapter you should be well-versed of as believers in, because this is the fall of man. This is where all the problems started. My friend, this is where death and suffering all started from, was right here in this chapter. And understanding that truth that God made a perfect creation. God is a holy God. And understand this foundational knowledge, because this world has no concept of this knowledge. And we need to understand that. But this is the fall of man. The serpent was more subtle than a beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Questioning God in his holy word. My friend, this is the same temptation as here Paul refers back to a historical Adam and Eve. Why is that important? Because in the broad spectrum of our Christian colleges and seminaries, I said Christian colleges and seminaries, I'm talking the broad spectrum of Christendom, they do not even believe that Adam and Eve are historical people anymore. These are going to be the leaders of our next church. I'm going to give you some stats in a little bit of what is happening in the church. That's why I'm thankful you're in church this morning, that you're in a church where pastor has been here, has stood upon the authority of what thus saith the Lord says. This is a good place to be, is where a church where they're preaching what the Bible says. There are a lot of other options out there, but I want you to stick to one that you're in that believes what God says according to what the Word of God says. How desperately we need this. How desperately the next generation needs this. Lenin said, give me one generation and he'll change the world. My friend, the same thing is happening to us that has already happened over in England. And we'll talk more about that. But here, the fall of man, yea, hath God said, the temptation, the subtlety. What's it say here? It says, as he beguiled Eve, Satan fooled Eve in this whole process and temptation, and he turned Adam's bride against her maker, the one who created her. And understand that. And that is exactly what is happening to the church today. Satan in his subtlety is turning the bride against the maker, who gives us the breath to breathe and sustains our life and sustains everything in the order in this whole universe before us. And yet people have refused his gift. That song, Oh What a Savior. Yet God still loves them. God is long-suffering. He's still giving them one more opportunity to put their faith and trust in Him. And that is our responsibility as salt and light in this world, to share that truth and that gospel with them. Notice down here in verse number 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached," is that happening? Is that event taking place? I declare to you, I believe it is. There are many, many churches out there that are packed full that I believe are preaching another Jesus. I believe it's taking the second commandment and making another image of who God is. What is happening in our culture, in our society, even within the church, is we are making a Jesus and an image of Jesus, the kind of Jesus we want, that we're comfortable with, that adjusts to my lifestyle. And that image of Jesus there is being created out there, even using the name of Jesus and declaring, and my friend, if you trust in a different Jesus, then you preach a different gospel, and you're not heading to heaven. What we need to do is identify what is the true Jesus Christ. Here in the scriptures, the true Jesus Christ is revealed. Simply this: I trust you're trusting in this Jesus Christ. Number one, he's the creator of the universe. I've mentioned that all over and over again. I believe according to what the authority of the Word of God says, God created all things in 6 24-hour days 6,000 years ago, according to what the scriptures teach us. See, folks, this is a history book. This is a true history book of what God wants us to know that has happened in the last 6,000 years and then what is going to happen in the future. But we do have some known history that God has recorded to us. You say, well, what about what everybody else has said? You know, what about what the scientists have said? We as Christians are not against science. We believe in observational science, repeatable, testable, and you can do it over and over again. We believe in that. Some of the greatest scientists believed what the Word of God says and came up with the scientific method. But what is happening is they've tried to take and interpret the history where they weren't there. See, how many people were there a few thousand years ago when everything was created? Nobody was. It's what God said to Job in Job 38:4. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Was Job there? No. Who was there? God was there. He wrote about it. Don't you think the one who made it would know how he did it? Yet people denounce that. Why? Because they do not want ultimately to submit to an authority. My friend, that's every one of us struggle with that concept because of our sinful nature. We do not want to submit to an authority. So we rebel against that. Ultimately, it comes down to the lust of our own hearts, is when you get down to the nitty-gritty. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And don't tell me how to do it either, because I'm going to do it. And that's where we come back to understanding, identifying why it's important that Jesus Christ was our creator. Read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1. Read all those chapters and out through Scripture. Jesus Christ created everything, and he holds everything together. And how important it is, as we understand, he is the creator of our universe. But we have a generation of young people since the 60s who have not been taught that concept, who God is, and that he's the creator of all things. They've been taught a totally different philosophy, that evolution, which eliminates who God is. And that's the whole thing. If you don't believe in the Bible and that God's a creator, then you must come up to answer that number one question: where'd we come from? And to answer that question, they have a whole philosophy of evolution over here that if you don't believe what they believe, you're nuts. You're crazy. You don't know how to think. You won't get your scientific papers published in our publication because you don't believe in evolution. There's a lot of Christian scientists out there that don't get their great work and their great studies that they've done published out there, and people don't get a chance to read it because they don't believe in evolution. Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus Christ created all things. Number two, he's the Word made flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God is made flesh. He is the living Word of God, and how important that is in our life. Number three, he is the one sacrificed for sins forever. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who's died and paid for our sins. He died on the cross for you and me. This is where that song we sang, So Much God, is so vitally important. Number one, Jesus Christ became flesh. God manifested himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. God became flesh through Jesus Christ. Ultimately important for you and me, because man, the first Adam, caused sin and death. The second Adam, the last Adam the scripture refers to, Jesus Christ, is man. We're related to him physically. So ultimately, he can take our sacrifice as a human being, but he also was God and the perfect God. So he paid for our sins. The first Adam brings death. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, brings life. He wants you to have everlasting life. And that's so vitally important to understand that sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you read all about those animal sacrifices, the blood of goats and so forth, is not going to pay for our sins. It's only through Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. He has bought us back. Question, have you reconciled your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about, being reconciled to God. The debt has already been paid. It's already done. The work's done. It's completed. It's finished, Jesus said on the cross. It's up to you. Are you reconciled? Do you acknowledge your sinfulness? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ and his payment that he paid for you? Number four, he's the resurrected Lord. See, he can offer you life because he died physically, but he rose. He's a living Savior. No other God out there that people worship is a living Savior. They're all dead. And how important that is. He's the resurrected Lord. And then he is going to be our coming King. One more thought about that coming King. Yeah. By the way, when you think about he's going to be our coming King, do you realize there'll be no more elections? Aren't you in on that? It's going to be a good day, isn't it? It's going to be a real good day. None. No more. God's in charge, and we must surrender and fall before him and worship him. What a time that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. He also is the righteous judge. A lot of people talk about God's love, and God is a God of love, and he is long-suffering. His mercy endureth. But one day, he's going to be that righteous judge, and every one of us are going to stand before him. What are you going to say? Is he going to say, I never knew you? Or is he going to welcome you in? Oh, my friend, the most important decision. Make sure you put your faith and trust in the true Jesus Christ. Make him the Lord of your life. Well, as we see this and see that in verse number 4, that they preach another Jesus, and we have not preached. Or if they receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with them. And I believe thousands, yea, millions of people are deceived with this other Jesus. That's not the biblical Jesus Christ. And they really don't know. I can share an illustration from where in Massachusetts, I believe a couple years ago in the fall. And the pastor there was talking to a gentleman, and he said that he had trusted Jesus Christ. He had watched a certain gentleman on TV, and he had done what the preacher said, just given his life to Jesus, and said his life is miserable. It's horrible, this trust in Jesus. Well, then the pastor went ahead and started sharing the gospel with him and who Jesus Christ is, and he says, who's that? He had no idea what Jesus had done for him. But he had watched a program on TV, and all of a sudden it just pronounced him as a Christian. My friend, that's the deceit and subtlety of Satan, deceiving, yea, millions of people out there. And that's why we have to be prepared to share the truth according to what thus saith the Lord said. We have a problem in our culture. We have a problem in our society. And I fear that many, as it says in verse number 3, should be corrupted from the simplicity. So their minds should be corrupted. What is the problem? What do we know what's going on? What is happening is we're losing the next generation. We're losing our young people. They're gone. They have left. These stats are in. These are already in. I trust you know this. 60 to 70% of young people, when they were in church, like you young people here this morning that are here, and I'm thankful you're here. Stay in church. Don't leave church when you get to be your 20s. You need God. You need to have the Word of God in your life. You cannot live on this earth without God. I don't know how people survive without Jesus Christ and knowing truth and what the answers that the Word of God has for us today, how important that is. 67% have left the church when they get to be in their 20s. Question was asked to this group right here about the authority of the Word of God. When did you no longer believe that all of the accounts in history in the Bible are true? 40%, 39.8 in middle school, 43.7 in high school, 10.6 during college. What were they doing? The Genesis 3 attack. What's the attack? Hath God said. They quit believing that this is true from cover to cover. And they don't need that. And that is the tool of Satan, his subtlety. You set this aside, then you can come over here and do what you want to do, how you want to do it. Now, what's happening with that 30% that's still going to church? What does this 30% believe? What do they believe? 30% still attending church. Survey was given, says, do not consider themselves born again, 43%. Acknowledge openly that they're not even saved. This is the 30% that's still going to church. That begs the question, if these folks still go to church and become leaders in the church, what's the church going to look like? That's why you better be thankful for your church that you attend today that wants to stand on what the Word of God says. Some other stats, 50% do not believe in a young earth, 23% believe God used evolution to change one kind of animal to another, 9% believe humans evolved from ape-like ancestors, 30% believe you don't need to go to church, and then this is the large one, 65% believe if you're a good person, you will go to heaven. These people do not know what the Bible says, and that is sad. Satan has deceived them through his subtlety of not knowing what the truth is. That gives us an awesome responsibility as salt and light in this world. And it all starts in what we're going to share this week in the home, God's first institution. There is a problem out there. Ultimately, the root of all sin is doubting what the Word of God says. But we see it out in the world. We should know it's going to happen in the secular world. That should be a given. But the problem is, it's crept into the church. See, ultimately, church, what should be happening is we should gather first as families and worship God as fathers and mothers, share our faith with our children according to what God says, teaching our children the things of the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise. How does a child know the holy scriptures? It's the parent's responsibility. God has designed this home and this family to teach the children and to pass this down, to share the Word of God with them. My friend, young people do not need any more gadgets, or toys, or junk. They need truth, and they need the Word of God more than ever before. Grandparents, parents, it's time for us to start giving them spiritual gifts, Word of God, things that emphasize the Word of God, more than giving them another trinket to play with. This determines your eternal destiny, not some tinker toy. It's all right to have a tinker toy. Don't get mad at me. It's all right that they have little toys. It's not bad. A better thing, get outside and play with some sticks or something outside and get some sunshine or go weed the garden or do something like that. Teach them to work also. There's a lot of things you can learn how to do with the family, and that would be exciting. But they need to know. As I had to share this morning, thinking of how God has provided for you, they need to know how God has taken care of you in your life, to know that the God you say you put your faith and trust in is real. He's provided for you, and you can give verbal testimony. Maybe you want to write it down on a piece of paper, whatever it is, but it is vitally important that we share with them these truths to the next generation, because ultimately, that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have families. They come together in the church, you gather as a family, and you learn from God, you worship God together as a family. The church is strong because families are strong. Then the church ultimately affects the culture, the people that you come in contact with, because you're salt and light in the world. This isn't rocket science, folks. But what's happening? The world has crept into the church. And the humanistic mindsets of this world has changed what the church believes. Why? Because we're not standing on what thus saith the Lord says. And so we have great conflict. Javon and I were headed to a store in New Philadelphia, Ohio. It's close to Amish country in Ohio. Our Amish country in Ohio, not yours in Pennsylvania. As we were going past this church, had this beautiful rainbow-colored sign, which I do not think they were celebrating God's promise to Noah, which is why we have a rainbow, because God promised to Noah he would not flood the globe again with a worldwide flood, because the flood was a judgment from God because of the sin in this world. As we know it says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. Isn't it ironic that they've chosen a rainbow colored? And church, this is a church. On the sign it says, God is still speaking, comma. You, as a Bible believer, what is your answer to that statement on the side of that church? My answer is this: God has spoken, and he has not changed his mind. It's the same from the beginning when he established the first institution of the home until the end. It never changed. God has spoken. This is what God uses for us in our day, in our age, in our dispensation that we get from him. And this is how we deliver. But you're going to be a hateful person. You don't love these people. No, I really love them because they really need Jesus Christ for the eternal destiny of heaven. I love them because I want to share with them the truth. That's love. Just like your little child. That's why you said, no, this is not right. No, I don't want you to go play in the street. Why? Because you love your son and daughter, and you don't want him to play in the street because you're going to get hurt. The same is true. Sin is sin, by the way, whether it's this, abortion, adultery, whatever. It's all sin before a holy God. But this is the agenda they're pushing at us today. And if we do not accept what they believe, then we are called hateful people. And that is what is happening before us. But see, the thing that here that gets me is it's a church. But some of us don't believe. We want to stand on the Word of God, but this church doesn't want to stand on the Word of God. And so we are in the category of being hateful people. No, ultimately, we're loving people that want to share with you the truth because we stand on what the Word of God says, who created you. By the way, as you'll come tonight and learn, that God made you either male or female. As a little boy, you grew up to be a young man. As a little girl, you grew up to be a young lady. Adults, teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. It's not an opinion. It's what thus saith the Lord says. The one who gives us the breath to breathe. So a problem inside the church, a problem with questioning the authority of God's word versus man's word. Just let me speak this to you and say, parents, grandparents, we have to be aware of what is happening out there. We have a school system from K-3 up through our universities that is an atheistic, naturalistic, humanistic education system. What are you talking about? They are no God. You won't hear God mentioned in their classrooms. We have been with young people down in Florida that have went to community colleges and their humanities class. I mean, the first 45 minutes, they just ridiculed anybody that believed what the Word of God says, and they've thrown it out. And you have got to be very, very cognizant of what is happening to your young people as they get influenced with this influence from an atheistic education system. Ultimately, in that system, you can't know knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't know anything apart from the biblical God. So to put it all together, how it all fits together properly, you must know who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Jesus, in him are hid all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. What does Peter tell us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, his last verse, that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? See, as Christians, once you get saved, it's not time to sit at the beach and eat bonbons. No, we must grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have got to be able to teach our young people some truths. You might even have to do a little bit of study and some reading. That's why we have those books out there. You know, what happened to the dinosaurs? What do I need to know about dinosaurs for? I don't want to learn anything. Well, let me tell you what, your young people know a lot, and it wasn't taught to them from a biblical viewpoint. So they really don't have the true knowledge of what dinosaurs are and when they were created. In fact, they got false knowledge that's not true. And you know what it does? It makes them question what God says. And as soon as they question, that's Satan's attack. Are you with me? Satan's attack on their minds. They're questioning the Word of God because we have not given them Bible answers. See, that is our solution. We have a problem, I trust you see. The solution is we have got to have Bible answers for them. What happened to the dinosaurs? Why is there death and suffering? What is a marriage? Come tonight and we'll give you a Bible answer. Can you, when you're out in this world, in the hot topic of homosexuality, transgender, that whole thing, what is your Bible response? My friend, we can't just give a gut feeling or, oh, it's just yuck. No, we got to have a Bible answer from God. That's what we stand on. That's where we believe. That's where our faith is. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Are you with me? You understand? We got to go to the Word of God. We got all these social medias out there, and everybody out spewing their opinions out there. I could care less about your opinion. What does God say? That's what we have to come back to. Ultimately, what we believe will determine how we will behave. And that is true in our world. If they don't believe in a biblical God, then boom. They've changed. If they believe in a different Jesus Christ, they're not going to believe according to what thus saith the Lord says. So we have to come back to that truth. Identify. Have an answer. What is a marriage? Have an apologetic, Peter talks about. Have a reason why you believe what you believe. It can't just be opinion. We must reveal it through the Word of God. How do we have to do that? We got to get back in the Bible. It's just not going to float out there. You're not going to hear it on the 24-hour news cable network out there. You're going to have to get back to the Word of God. Ultimately, we must come back to the truth of what the Scriptures say. The family, that's what we're going to be dealing with this week. The family, the home, we're going to identify the home. We're going to talk about obedience. Who's the greatest example of obedience? Who's the greatest example of love? Who's the greatest example of forgiveness? Jesus Christ. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed his heavenly Father. Love. Oh, what love. We've despised him. We've ridiculed him. We've taken his name in vain. We've crucified him. He was whipped, beaten, and yet he still gives us the breath to breathe. He loves us. The ultimate example of love, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. Some of his last words were, Father, forgive them. He offers you the forgiveness of all your sin. What a gift of all your sin. But you don't know what I've done. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. The greatest example. Oh, if the world could understand. Oh, these young people. My friend, if you know a young person, my friend, it's not because we're here. We are nothing. The only thing anything is going to get accomplished this week is through the power of the God and the power of the Word of God. But if the young people aren't here, we can't share the truth with them. That's where this huge congregation needs to be participating this week and bringing kids. Do I have to? We're talking eternity. We're talking life. This is reality. Understand our responsibility to teach these young people. Get a heartbeat for what life is all about. Because someday you're going to die. And if you don't pass your faith to the next generation, all your relatives, where are they going? By the grace of God, they're going to go to the lake of fire unless God saves them some miraculous way. See, ultimately, in a home and a family, you're either sustaining a godly legacy or you're building a godly legacy? What are you doing? Some of you may have just decided, I don't care anymore. What am I talking about? The scripture clearly says, the history is recorded in Joshua chapter 4. You know what happened in Joshua chapter 4? Joshua's in charge now. Moses is dead, crossing over to the promised land. Have to cross Jordan. God gives Joshua some instructions. Get 12 men, one from each tribe. As they cross the river, pick up a stone. 12 stones. Miracle. Priests touch the river. River stops. Dry ground immediately. They cross over. These 12 guys pick up stones, get to Gilgal that night, pitch him there in Gilgal, and this is what he says. And he spake unto the children, Joshua, of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? So the monument's here. Later on, these children come by and see. He says, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. You're testifying how good God is. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did the Red Sea. Going back to two examples, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. Why? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. What's the picture here? The picture is the monument is here. Children come and say, Daddy, what are these stones here for? Boom. Step forward, testify, and reflect how great God brought you across that Jordan River. My friend, you can do the same thing with your life. This is it. Right now, you're right here. You have the opportunity to invest in your young people, your children. Toys? No. The Word of God, Scripture, changes a life, transform a life. You may even get to get a chance to invest in your grandchildren. A little bit. But there are generation after generation, if the Lord tarries down here, where you and I are dead and gone. And if we blow it back here, who's going to share Jesus Christ with them down here? Are you with me? This is reality. Not the stuff on TV. This is life. Satan is trying to deceive. The subtlety of Satan is trying to corrupt your minds, to get you off the importance of what God is, the Word of God, of what's going on here this week, and get us busy with everything else besides sharing truth with the next generation. Because he wants to capture their minds, capture their hearts, ultimately, as Peter says, devour them as a roaring lion. How important it is to stick to the truth of God's Word. The solution, we need to study up. We need to have answers. We need to have Bible answers. We need to be able to share with our young people what gender is, what a marriage is, whether it's 6 days or millions of years, what happened to the science, what happened to death and suffering. The answers, I believe, for us are right here in the Word of God. My friend, if you don't have an answer, then find the answer. But if your young people ask you a question, make sure you get the answer to them. Don't fail them from giving them a Bible answer of their questions in this life. Conclusion. What you believe determines how you'll behave. It comes back to the war between God's word and man's word. It is a holy war, ultimately. How does the Holy Scriptures impact your life? What are you going to do to impact the next generation? We know they're leaving. We know they're gone. How are you going to change and try to reverse that? This is, I believe, the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's referendum. We need to have a reform here and come back to the ways of God.